What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got the Biden address this evening at 7 p.m. That's when your live coverage starts all across the network. Don't miss it. We also have the Brewers tied 2-2 with the Chicago Cubs at the moment in the bottom of the sixth. Don't worry, we're still 10 games up. Cubs. That's my producer, Brian Kelly, Cubs fan, and thus depressive.
Last night was the, if you could put the whole season into one game.
That was it.
All of last night.
I loved it.
No, it was great. No, it was good baseball. It was fun.
Yep. Go Crew. I am going to give away two Brewers tickets to next Tuesday's Milwaukee Brewers game against the Atlanta Braves. If you are the first caller that knows the answer to the following trivia question, this is two tickets in the wonderful club-level seats at the Brewers-Braves game next Tuesday evening. First pitch, usually either at 6:40 or 7:10. It will be so on Tuesday as well. Here is your Brewers trivia question of the day. What team did the Milwaukee Brewers lose to in their first game as the Brewers? First caller gets two tickets. The Brewers Angel, excuse me, I just gave away the question. Whoops. Okay, so if you were all wondering, the team that they lost to the first time is the California Angels, then the California Angels. I have a different trivia question for you. And if you get the trivia question right, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you get this trivia question right, that I will not give away the answer to on the air, you will get two tickets in the club level to the Brewers-Braves game next Tuesday evening.
Interrupting Cal.
Sorry about that, everyone. Which Brewers have had their number retired? You have to give the name, the number that was retired, and the year that they retired. I could do all four of them off the top of my head with numbers, but not the years they retired. That was the tricky part for me. So if you name the four Brewers that have had their name retired, you got to give the name and the year that that Brewers number was retired. You will get two tickets in the club level to the Brewers-Braves game next Tuesday evening. Very excited to bring on my next guest. It's only fitting that my next guest comes right after the other most reasonable guy in Wisconsin politics, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Really happy to bring back as my fabulous co-host, Tom Paulswitz. Welcome back, Tom. Good to see you.
Great to be here. You know, it's been, what, 2 weeks? I don't think much happened in those last 2 weeks, so I'm not sure what we will talk about.
The 2 weeks that changed America? I can just start writing the book now. Oh, my goodness. It is quite something. I can't believe that we've lived through all of this history in this compact of a time. I'll just dive right in. Tom, what was your reaction when you heard that Joe Biden was stepping down from the presidential race?
I was actually very pleased because you could tell that the support was not going to be there. The money was not going to be there. And, you know, the interesting thing personally, and this is just my personal emotional roller coaster after seeing the assassination attempt and then the RNC and then this, I really felt sort of a weight lift. And, you know, yesterday, my wife went to the rally yesterday, and it was just, I just felt like this enthusiasm and the inspiration come back. And it was as if my whole outlook had changed. So but what a call. I mean, as Joe Biden taking a step back and being able to say, I am voluntarily giving up power. You know, it's hard to remember somebody who's done this in that kind of context. I mean, you could cite LBJ, but I really go back to George Washington saying, no, this is how democracy works. It's the will of the people. No matter what I want, it's the will of the people.
Well, and I think the idea that as a public servant, you are supposed to serve others, that you have to put your self-interest last, frankly, not even second, last,
right.
That you do not conflate self-interest with the interest of the country, which has been the thing that has sort of undergirded Trump's entire campaign, and yes. his approach to the presidency. If it's good for me, it's good for the nation, because what I think is good for... They just have conflated those two things completely. There's no daylight at all anymore between the GOP and Trumpism, which is the all... You know, again, the elevation of Donald Trump as always being right, sort of a la the divine right of kings sort of thing. Thank you, Supreme Court, right? I mean, it's so different.
Right. Now anointed by God for not getting killed in the assassination attempt.
Don't even say the G word and Trump together in the same sentence.
Right. But I got to tell you, Maggie, one of the things that I've been thinking back on is I saw two great speeches in 2018. One of them by Joe Biden, talking about foreign policy, about how off track we were, and if, you know, we really need to get back on track. He hadn't thrown his hat in, he wasn't running yet, but it was just a great speech to talk about our role in the world and what we really need to represent and what we think about. The other one, as I saw Kamala Harris, and her speech back in 2018 was about her upbringing, how she really was able to, you know, become who she is within the confines of the American society, but really how she saw diversity as this great strength that we have in our country, not this big weakness that I think the Republicans say. And it's just tremendous to think back on that going, that's the way it should be.
I've never understood this weird fear-mongering-ishness that happens about people who want to talk about diversity. Are you so afraid of people that are different or that bring different life experiences to the table? Are your kids reading about different life experiences or different ways that people have made choices that you can't even engage that it all has to be painted with this uber broad brush that all bad. Anytime somebody tells me something is like, all bad or all good, right. When my antennae go up and I'm thinking, what? Again,
not possible.
Correct. Right. Certitude is the enemy of curiosity. Certitude as the enemy of openness, of inclusivity. Anybody who claims to be certain all of the time has got to be a little bit full of it. And that seems to be what I hear all of the time from the right. And the certitude is about my beliefs. They're, of course, right. Everybody else is right. It's weird. And I know there's probably some conservatives screaming at the radio saying, Maggie, aren't you super certain about your... My certainty is in the humbleness that, yes, we do have to hear from other people, that I do need to have my policy preferences, my beliefs constantly challenged.
Yes.
That our democracy's better when we have more of that push-pull, that domination of government isn't a good thing. So, Tom, what are you hoping to hear this evening from President Biden?
What I'd like to hear is his plan for the rest of his term.
Mm.
You know, now that he's sort of, you know, unshackled from having to run, you know, this, because this is a really interesting situation. We have a president who I think has a tremendous amount of power, especially in foreign policies. What can he actually accomplish without having to factor in politics as the overriding fundamental theme of what he's doing? So I think he's going to be able to make some headway on issues that are pretty sticky, but knowing that he's the right person to help do that.
The first thing that came to my mind, Tom, was our policy in Gaza and vis-a-vis, yes, Benjamin Netanyahu. As I got on the air, President Netanyahu was addressing Congress, not that using foreign policy and using the State Department to try to encourage greater amounts of humanitarian, that's all should continue to happen, but, yes, perhaps the public application of pressure on specifically President Netanyahu, as distinguished and distinguishable from Jewish people both in Israel and everywhere. Right. And again, an alignment with democracy and accountability in Israel as well, right? They're facing, yes, very similar challenges. Again, no news happening. Netanyahu addressing Congress some major absences in that at that address. Nancy Pelosi, other Democratic leadership not attending that address. I'll be interested to watch to see if there's a shift specifically on how President Biden publicly engages with Benjamin Netanyahu moving forward. Is there anything that comes sort of top of mind to you, Tom, when we think about policy?
I think there's a couple of different things. One is I think he can push a couple of the bills that he's had passed in order to get more money flowing. Mm. I think he can probably apply more pressure to that. The other would be is, you know, some of the things that are near and dear to his heart is really thinking through and saying what other, you know, social things can be done, even with a Republican Congress at this point. You know, you have a Democratic Senate. What can possibly be done about, you know, child care, about health care, about Medicare? So there, I think there's a number of different things that he can apply a stamp to. And the other thing is there's no reason there can't be a little bit of daylight between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Agreed. Yep. I think she,
because they're different people. They're, you know, yes, they're both Democrats, but their thinking is not radically different, but different on some things. So he should do what he thinks is right. And then Kamala Harris can run on what she thinks is right.
Absolutely. Take credit for all the Biden-Harris accomplishments that she believes is in alignment with her platform or the DNC's platform. Place distance where she has some, again, differing views, which you're never free to do as a vice president. You kind of have to do what the marching orders are.
Yes.
You've got questions, comments, you want to get in on the discussion with Tom Paulswitz and I, my very special guest and co-host this hour, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I want to hear from you. We'll go to the text lines and the phone lines next. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I am jazzed as hell.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We have two Brewers tickets to give away. We still have them, right, Brian? Which four Brewers had their numbers retired? What were their numbers, and in what years were their numbers retired? I'll give you a hint. You probably know the four players off the top of your head. These are not hard to come up with. You'll get a ticket to next Tuesday's Brewers-Braves game. First pitch, either 6:40 or 7:10, depending on when they lock that in. At AmFam Field, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I am joined this hour by my fabulous co-host, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics, former congressional candidate, small business owner, Brewers fan, and Navy veteran. Thanks again for being here, Tom. I still remain slightly nervous, but the excitement is now, you know, blocking out the nervousness for the most part. I think tonight's speech will be really interesting. I hope to really see a thoughtful passing of the torch and a really a call to some of those emotional appeal to Americans that, like, this is the best of our country, that we have difficult conversations. We have them in the open. And people make really tough decisions. They make the best of us, the best of elected officials make them selflessly and in service of and to others.
Yes.
It'll be an exciting time. I'll be watching. Are you planning on watching this evening, Tom?
Oh, yes, definitely. But the other thing I've been thinking about is two things. One is the speed of unity that the Democratic Party was able to achieve after the announcement. So I think to me that says that people already had done the thinking about this and what the best next step was. So there wasn't a lot of convincing that needed to be done or anything else. And just the sheer volume of donations.
Oh, yes. Basically,
from the announcement.
Like, yes. She almost broke the internet.
Basically. Yes. Unbelievable. I know I donated, you know, because I was like, okay, I got to get in there. Right.
A bunch of my friends got the text message, let's go. And like, where do I write the check? Who gets all my money now? John, John from Sun Prairie, say hello to Tom. And Brian, do you have a question or comment this afternoon?
Hi, Tom. Hi, Brian. Welcome back, Maggie. The Angels. No, I'm just kidding. what I was going to say was the Republicans are in disarray. And all we heard last week was how they had it all locked up and they were measuring the drapes. I think the Democrats flipped the switch, or I should say Joe Biden did. And I'll give them kudos for that. Does it come down to two theories? I guess you'd call them crackpot theories. But the first I have is, did Beavis and Butthead, I mean Don and Eric, decide they wanted Shady Vance as the VP, and they convinced their daddy to go with that? And B, did Trump's boo-boo happen because of a shard of glass, or why don't we know? That's my question. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, John. Thanks for listening. my rash thinking about why Trump picked J.D. Vance is that they assumed they had it sewn up so he could go hard, hard MAGA, and that is J.D. Vance, right? He thought he could pick someone to pass the MAGA cult torch to, and J.D. Vance is Peter Thiel's hand-picked guy. I mean, I used the phrase Manchurian candidate before in talking about J.D. Vance.
Yes.
But in a very literal sense, I think it applies to him. He's basically the puppet of a couple of billionaires. What do you think the rationale behind the J.D. Vance pick was?
Oh, I think two things. One is it had to be somebody who is not going to upstage Donald Trump. So that was first and foremost. So somebody who was going to be lockstep, you know, that was the problem with Mike Pence, is he didn't necessarily, he wasn't in lockstep with the MAGA movement. So it had to be somebody like that, but it also had to be somebody who could be controlled.
Yes.
So, and you know, and then somebody who could bring some extra money that maybe wasn't coming, but I think it was coming anyways. I think it was a, you know, remarkably dumb pick, but
agreed.
You know, but I agree with you. I think they thought it was sewed up and thought, well, it doesn't really matter. And to the typical MAGA, I don't think it does matter. I don't think they care who the vice president is. You know, I think the best meme I saw on that was, you know, somebody cutting out the PE in the Trump Penn sign and putting the VA on top of it.
Lovely. Lovely. That sounds about right. J.D. Vance being the Manchurian candidate, the one more than happy and willing to do whatever Donald Trump or Peter Thiel tell him to do is so evident, right? Like, Peter Thiel says, go run for Senate and I'm going to fund your campaign. And J.D. says, when? Now? Okay cool.
Right.
Donald Trump says, would you stop the electoral vote count and violate the Constitution and every oath or principle you ever swore allegiance to? Sure, I'll do that. No problem. I mean, the guy doesn't have a mind of his own. You need only read the flip-flops.
Right.
What? He's just a very evident and obvious huckster and flip-flopper who will say whatever suits him in the moment. CJ, say hi to Tom and Brian. What do you think about J.D. Vance as the pick? Remember, CJ, three rules. Don't lie, don't hate, don't deflect. How is J.D. Vance as the pick?
I was surprised, but a former Marine, a business owner, he made a payroll. Unlike
his business
President
was,
Biden or Kamala Harris, never made a payroll.
His business was funded by a billionaire. So, quote, making payroll is a bit of a euphemism, CJ.
Yes. Probably not a lot of angst
really.
Along those
well,
lines.
Unfortunately, that's what you guys believe. But
that's not what I believe. He got out of Yale Law School. Within a year, Peter Thiel had, like, handpicked him to run a fund. That's what the guy did.
You're so eager to spend someone else's money, and you don't have a problem with that.
What are you talking about, CJ? Remember, I said don't deflect, don't make it personal.
Kind of like Joe Biden?
What are you talking about?
35% business tax rate.
No, he doesn't. No, did you just say?
CJ, let's go back. Let's go back to the question. What is CJ? What are your thoughts on JD Vance as vice president?
I think it's a great pick.
Why?
He's run a business.
Hey, and, other know, than that, other than that reason, which we are going to disagree about, and you're talking to a Navy veteran, so you've named two. If setting that aside, does the man have any experience?
Kamala Harris wants to go to 35% corporate tax rate. What do you think that's going to do? That's going to drive businesses offshore again. You know,
we had a rate of 35%, CJ. We had that. And businesses were still sitest and residenced here.
I finished giving you reasons because I can.
What you're doing. Okay. This is. I wanted to hear the affirmative case for J.D. Vance. I got he's a small business
owner. I wanted one more thing.
Yeah.
Just one more thing.
We might try it again when we come back. I'll have to remind him of the rules again. My special guest host with me, co-host extraordinaire Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics, former congressional candidate, Navy veteran, small business owner himself. He's made payroll.
I've made payroll.
We can talk about that more.
Sometimes it wasn't easy.
No. You get paid last when you own a business. I'm Maggie Dawn. Yes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Someone screams out, she's laughing up
at us from hell. I'm going to do my song now.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. Little Charlie XCX, because Kamala is brat. Well, it's going to be a recurring theme till November. I like it. It's groovy. And Charlie's hilarious. I mean, the woman has a sense of style and irony, I should say.
I find her funny myself.
Yes, very enjoyable.
Although I pronounce it brat, but that's me. I take a different tack on that, but that's fine.
I like brats and brats, especially at Brewers games. It is bottom of the eighth, still tied 2-2. I'll keep you posted. Yes,
I promise disappointment for me.
my special guest host this hour, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics. Joining me, we were having an argument with frequent conservative caller CJ. I asked conservatives a question before CJ noted you didn't call in. Could you imagine a set of factual circumstances where Donald Trump is a presidential nominee and steps back from it? CJ?
No, he's got enough guts to stand up with part of his ear blown off and put his fist in the air. And said,
but CJ, I'm asking you a question about whether or not there would be, like, if you could spin out a set of, do you see any circumstances under
that?
Of course I do. I did so on my show the day after it, on Monday after it happened. I talked about it at length. I condemned any political violence in no uncertain terms. As disgusting and abhorrent, I condemned the assassination attempt. Of course I did. Do not misconstrue what I've said on the air. My question to you, sir, is what are the factual circumstances, hypothetical though they may be, that Donald Trump steps back from the presidential nomination or would resign from office?
He could have done that and not run. Because he's a multimillionaire. And
I'm not saying could have, CJ. My question is, no, you cannot. Because the rules are, don't lie, don't hate, and answer the questions that I've asked. Those are the rules. I'm not saying could have. Yeah, a president can resign any time. Bye, CJ. Mark from Prairie. Yeah, that was fun. Mark from Prairie to Sac, say hello to Tom. Because I think I was about to get a handle the truth sort of.
Right. It was getting there.
It was building up to it. Mark, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, I can't imagine any situation where Donald Trump would do that. His ego is so big that it just is unbelievable. And what is not surprising to me at all. It was just how reprehensible some of these Republicans are being now about Joe Biden stepping aside. I mean, Brian Schimming of the Wisconsin Republican Party, you know, Eric Hovde, who is, you know, the Senate candidate, likely mm-hmm. likely a Van Odd one, you know, any of those guys. I mean, that the anger that I hear in their voices, I could easily see them actually assaulting somebody if they get confronted with some issues at a campaign event or you know, out on the street. Because Hovde, you know, Van Orden, I mean, basically assaulted a woman when he tried to shove her aside, trying to jump in line. That I am just applauding Joe Biden for what he did. That Kamala Harris is a fantastic candidate. I got excited about it too. I you know, went in and kicked in $25 right away for her campaign. That when I heard about it on Monday, I didn't hear about it till Monday, and it just is. It's refreshing, and I think the excitement level is building up because Project 2025 and Project and Agenda 87 are just echoes of, for me at least, is you know, some of what I saw from some of the Confederate philosophers, you know, after the during the Civil War, that they want to roll back, you know, the ideals of the Revolution itself. I mean, that they don't believe in national equality, they don't believe in you know, national liberty or equality or the social contract. I mean, they want to roll all that back and have a more or less neo-feudal, you know, dictatorship in this country, and that's my opinion at least.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Appreciate you calling and weighing in. I let's turn to that. That was sort of next up on my list of things to talk about with you today, Tom, and that is the GOP reaction to Joe Biden stepping down. I think what we're seeing is, first of all, it's a set of lies because it's basically, right, the, oh, this is cheating. No. I'm sorry. We haven't had our convention yet. We get to pick who our candidate is.
Yes.
And if someone drops out of a race, they can do so for any reason that they choose. That's not cheating. That's the way the Democratic Party, which is a private organization, that's how we run our convention. That's how we get to choose. It's wrong. That's just not the way this works. But I think the freak out, the collective meltdown on the right is indicative of the fact that they're a little afraid, Brian, do we have the Stephen Miller? This is the freak out of freak outs.
Yeah.
Stephen Miller, whom I don't think I've ever seen have his pulse rate inch up over 50 because he's the undead. Again, this is me being sarcastic, but the guy is weird. He loses his bananas on Fox. Let's take a listen. This is one of the many Republican meltdowns.
They held a primary. People, they had ballots. They filled out circles. They went to the voting booths. They spent money on advertisements. And as President Trump said, the Republican Party spent tens of millions of dollars running against Joe Biden. Now they just woke up one morning and said, never mind, we're canceling the entire primary. We're getting rid of our candidate and we're pretending the election has never even happened. And we're going to let donors handpick a new nominee. They're publicly admitting that they are an oligarchy. They are not running a democracy. They are not running a representative republic. This is an oligarchy controlled by business interests. And the Democratic Convention is the private corporation that represents those business interests. This is as full frontal an attack on American democracy as we've ever seen in the history of America's major political parties.
That's a shame.
So what I love about this is that Stephen Miller stumbles his way into telling the unvarnished truth about the Republican Party.
Right. This is like pure projection.
It is completely laid bare psychological projection as you could see. It happens again and again and again. Yes, we held a primary. Yes, people voted for Joe Biden. They're also voting for a Biden administration, that entire team. That candidate has dropped out. We now get to pick our own candidate at the convention. We're doing so. Oh, and it happens to be the vice president of the guy that was running on his administration's
what a shocker.
Correct. Here are the three things that Stephen Miller says that I'm like, oh, yes, you slipped into talking about yourselves. A candidate handpicked by donors. Yes, that's J.D. Vance. He was handpicked by Peter Thiel.
Right.
And picked again by Peter Thiel. period, right. Full stop. Okay, that's J.D. Vance. You have now morphed into a party that is ruled by business interests and is promoting an oligarchy. Okay, let's observe some facts. Donald Trump promised billionaires at the Pierre Hotel to further drop their tax rate if they supported him monetarily. He promised big oil at Mar-a-Lago, support me or it'll cost you billions. I'm the cheaper option. Donald Trump has promised to the donor class over and over and over again to cut their income taxes and their corporate taxes over and over again. Wealth inequality has exploded under the Republican policies that has tried to, frankly, shrink the middle class so that we work to feed the billionaire donor class. Those are Republican policies, not Democratic ones. Those are all facts. And thank you, Stephen Miller, for accurately describing the Republican Party. They kick out their own party leadership, install the daughter-in-law, right? Like, it's up and down. No. You have created the oligarchy, and if anybody's read Project 2025, it's we now have a kingship, and the executive branch of government is the only thing that matters.
Right, but you know very well that they're very angry about this because they saw that running against Joe Biden was going to be easier than anyone else. And, you know, the interesting thing is they did not game plan for Joe Biden doing what he did because they couldn't fathom anyone doing it.
Yes!
There was no way for, like, it never entered into their thinking that someone would actually do this for the good of the country.
Because selflessness isn't part of that party's...
Not on the platform.
They don't breathe that ether. They don't observe that. That is not part of the value system to give of oneself without thought of your own power or prestige, to do the thing that hurts the most, that takes you out of control of something because it's better for the country.
It's better for the country. And you will not hear anybody from the Republican Party talking about the 58,000 new volunteers that are part of the campaign or the 1.1 million people who gave over $100 million within the first 36 hours of the announcement. That is not, I would not put that, what is that, a $90 average donation?
That
sounds like an oligarchy to me.
Yeah, all these small dollar donors. Again, it is constant projection. I call it the gaslighting of America. Every time you hear Donald Trump or a Stephen Miller speak, when they get going, what they're doing is describing what has become the Republican Party and what that platform is. There is no other way to spin tax cuts, further tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans that, according to Nikki Haley, drove us $8 trillion more in debt that we should be apologizing to our grandkids for. I mean, unbelievable. Matt from Germantown making a really interesting point in the text lines. According to conservatives, Trump is selfless because he's rich enough to not have to be president, so he's sacrificing his time to do so. I want, CJ, if you're still listening, I want you to, like, just pause for a second. I think you were trying to argue to me that, of course, Donald Trump is selfless because he could make so much more money doing what he usually does. Guess what, CJ? His business continues. He just uses the American taxpayer to get richer. Yes. You know, like staying in his own hotels, pressuring or, I don't know, extorting governments to be more friendly to his business interests, installing his son-in-law on a $20 billion hedge fund for the freaking Saudi sovereign wealth fund that Jared Kushner has no experience. I could go on. He's there because it enriches him, not because he's giving something
up. There's
a
higher probability of staying out of jail when you're president.
You think waving the magic pardon wand on oneself and be what super secret spy documents case? Those were mine. I can keep those. I mean, that's the whole stinking point.
And if your oligarchy is able to influence a few Supreme Court justices along the way.
Also bought and paid for by a couple billionaires and Leonard Leo and the Federalist Society that. Let's listen to Nikki Haley's wisdom on octogenarian candidates.
Oh, no.
I think this is good. Nikki Haley, back during her campaign, had this to say about octogenarian presidential candidates.
Most Americans do not want a rematch between Biden and Trump. The first party to retire its 80-year-old candidate is going to be the party that wins this election.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Nikki.
This is why Republicans are freaking out. All of a sudden, the shoe is on the other foot, right? Tom Cotton tweeted out, Joe Biden succumbed to a coup by Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, and Hollywood donors ignoring millions of Democratic primary votes. Donald Trump took a bullet for tomorrow. I wonder where CJ gets his talking points from.
Projection.
Donald Trump took a bullet. He's still unfit and about as selfish as they come. Full stop. We can hold competing thoughts in our minds and have a discussion about tough stuff. It's called democracy. Right. Tom is going to be back with me for our final segment of the day. Get your 2 cents, nickel, or quarter in. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll come back and I'll tell you what Kamala is brat means after these brief messages.
I think it's a very unfair thing, what's going on.
F*** your feelings.
Yes, I'll tell you something good. The Brewers are up 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth.
You heard it here first, folks. I told you we'd be disappointed, or at least I would, by the end of the night.
But as
the other terrible news is Christian Yelich went on the injured reserve.
I know.
Don't worry, Johnny McSchmo will come up and hit 40 home runs instead, because it's just the way that it freaking happens.
More time for Garrett Mitchell. That's all right.
That's right.
I like that kid too.
As in politics, so as in baseball, so as politics, it's never all over until the fat lady sings. It's not the bottom of the night. The game is not over yet. I promised to tell you all what brat means in this new parlance. If you haven't heard it, a British singer, Charlie XCX, endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris. Of course, she can't herself vote. On Sunday, tweeting out, Kamala is brat, and it blew up. Now, here's what's cool about Kamala Harris. Immediately, her X page and her tweets changed to use the chartreuse of Charlie XCX and the same type font, retweeted it. Very, very cool. But for all of you out there that don't know what brat means, and why in Charlie XCX's parlance, it is a positive. It's a compliment to call someone brat. It's basically to be kind of aggressive, like take no crap, and really cheeky and very unexpected, like off of type, right? And I think in many ways you can see Kamala as a candidate in that way. She has had some really funny moments. Again, when Madam Vice President is unscripted, doing her thing, it really connects. Donald Trump has said he'll debate her, which, oh my gosh, please.
Yes, please.
I have been waiting for a debate where someone like Kamala takes on Donald Trump. It's admittedly, it's a trick, right? Because there's so much, such a fire hose of lies that it becomes difficult. But like a little teeth smack, side eye, and like, what are you even talking about is so overdue in a Trump debate. Go ahead.
I'm up for that, but I'm also up for the interrogation, because he wouldn't sit on the witness stand. So this would be the next best thing.
Well, and it would have to be, if I'm her, I would try to get a fairly rules-free debate.
Yes, freewheeling.
Which, again, you know, she knows how to ask direct questions. I know CJ gets really mad at me and some of the other conservative callers because I cut them off. And right. I demand that they answer the question that I'm trying to ask or allow me to ask follow-ups without permitting them to derail it. Guess what? Right. That's what lawyers do. And Kamala is a great lawyer. We are going to take tomorrow some of the great Q&A between Kamala and Bill Barr, Kamala and Brett Kavanaugh, Kamala and Jeff Sessions. And you can see her brain working really quickly, as lawyers do. When someone sort of skirts or dodges a question, you ask it in a different way. You come back to those things. So we're going to take a listen to that. We might even do a little dating game for the vice presidency. Ooh. Like, who will she pick? Might it be Mr. Shapiro or Mr. Kelly?
What white man is she going to pick?
Right, to settle all of the doubts of guys that look like you, Tom. Yeah, because people like Glenn Grothman say things like this about soon-to-be President Kamala Harris. Let's take a listen.
Oh, wonderful.
I think it would be more difficult to beat somebody who's not Joe Biden.
Okay. Anything else about this decision that you wanted to say?
No, I think it's going to be a difficult race. I think people can say you're going to be picking an unknown for vice president, but to be honest, as soon as you're nominated for a national office like that, you become known in the first week.
Is there anyone that you see challenging Harris that could potentially overpower, like that you think more people could get behind?
I know there are some Democrats who don't like her, and she has the obvious weakness at the border, as well as she hasn't been the most articulate candidate so far. But apparently they feel, or a lot of Democrats feel, they have to stick with her because of her ethnic background. And so I'm sure there's some division there on that issue.
No.
Wow. Dear Glenn Grothman, or Grothman, because Donald Trump pronounced it Grothman once, and now Glenn Grothman is Glenn Grothman. Way to stand up for yourself. This is so fundamentally out of touch, right? This is the problem. Glenn, no, what people were saying was that as the vice president, if the Democratic Party tried to pivot to a different presidential candidate, it would alienate a lot of people, not just black and brown voters, but female voters, and it would seem to be more of the same. Her differentness and all of that, all of which that represents, is a selling point. It doesn't mean it's the, because she's black and Southeast Asian and female, there can be no one else.
Yes, no, but she's also eminently qualified.
Precisely. Frontline prosecutor.
Yes.
A district attorney, an attorney general, a senator that sat on the Judiciary Committee, and now the vice president. Yeah. Her experience also kicks everyone else's butt on that count.
And she has more foreign experience than Donald Trump.
JD Vance.
She's probably had more constructive and in-depth conversations with world leaders than even Donald Trump. Yes.
Tom, it's always great to see you. Thanks so much for spending your time with me. My special guest host this hour, you can find him here every 2 weeks, Mr. Tom Paulsiewicz, one of the most reasonable men in politics. Thanks so much, Tom.
Here's hoping for a slower 2 weeks.
Otherwise, I'm going to break. I'm just going to, cleave in two.
Explode. Yep.
Listen, y'all, it's so good to be back in the seat, back with each and every one of you, back with Brian Kelly. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
Tell me, that you love me.
Oh, the Brewers beat the Cubs. It's final.
Tell me something good.
I hate being right.
Tell me.
but nobody likes me.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?